Anne Patchett is the author of Bel Canto, which won her the 2002 Pen Faulkner Award and the Orange Prize for Fiction. She's also the author of Commonwealth. Her latest novel, The Dutch House, takes place in Philadelphia and New York over several decades. It tells the story of baby boomers, Danny and Maeve Conroy, siblings who spend most of their lives reminiscing about their childhood and the house they grew up in, a house which is no longer theirs. And Anne Patchett joins me now from London. And one of the things that immediately struck me about the Dutch house was that we have a brother and sister. These are the siblings that we're talking about. Quite often in stories, it's two sisters or two brothers and that type of dynamic that we're talking about. Was there something specific in the brother-sister aspect that you wanted to look at?
In my last novel, Commonwealth, there was a stepbrother and a stepsister. And I was very interested in their relationship. It wasn't like this. It wasn't, the whole book was not about them. But whenever the two of them were in a scene together, I was particularly happy writing about that dynamic. And so I thought the next time I would like to just do a whole book about a brother and a sister.
And taking the step out of the equation, was that important, that they were blood relatives?
Well, in this book, yes, it's very important, because when they lose everything, they just cling to one another so tightly. And it is very much a book about blood is thicker than water.
The aspect then that also struck me was that as when we're reading first, we're not quite sure who's telling us the story, but as it goes along, we find out pretty quickly that it is Danny who's narrating to us. Were you surprised that that was the voice that came to the fore, or how did that happen?
I knew that I wanted to write this book in first person because there are a lot of plot twists, and it wouldn't have worked to do it in an omniscient third, which is kind of what I love to write in. So the question then is it Danny or Maeve who's telling the story? Maeve wouldn't tell a story about herself, and I was so much more interested in looking at her. So Danny is the best way to look at Maeve. If you have a main character, and to me she really is the main character, then it's nice to get a view of her.
They both love each other. I don't think there's any question about that. Yeah, they have maybe differences of opinion. Nothing major. Does Danny, it's an odd thing maybe to perhaps ask about siblings, but do you think there's more of a hero worship on the part of Danny? Does he love his sister perhaps more than he's loved back?
You know, I think that they probably love each other in different ways. And yes, for him, it is a hero worship. And for her, it's a maternal responsibility. Their mother left when they were very young, and she's 7 years older than Danny. So she's really both the sister and the mother.
And the fact that the mother left, they get a stepmother. A stepmother arrives into this equation as well. And so one of the characters in the book at one point refers to both Danny and Maeve as a kind of a Hansel and Gretel type,
yes,
of couple. The fact that you reference Hansel and Gretel, and the fact that we're talking about a stepmother who perhaps, you can't call her a wicked stepmother, but there are aspects that are problematic for Danny and Maeve for sure. Was myth, was fairy tale anywhere in your mind?
I'm sure that it was. When I wrote my first book, Patron Saint of Liars, in 1992, I got a review in the New York Times that said, this book is a fairy tale, which I had never thought of. And I believe that sentence has appeared on every single book I have written since. And I don't set out to write fairy tales, but clearly they do inform me. And also, I should say, fairy tales, lives of the saints, parables, all of those stories from my childhood, I had 12 years in Catholic school, they're all the same to me. If it's Snow White or Saint Francis, those stories in which the good are very good and the evil are very evil, and there's a little bit of magic going on, that's kind of what my idea of a story is.
And I'd guess fairy tales, fables, the lives of the saints perhaps have a kind of a moral tale or a morality tale aspect to them, or an ethical aspect to the story that they tell, perhaps suggesting ways of behaviour to us. Is that ever in your mind, or was that in your mind in the writing of The Dutch House?
Well, it's not that I'm setting out to tell a parable or give a moral lesson, but I do think I just naturally lean that way, because to me it really is about plot and about story, and those ideas tend to be tied to morals and lessons from childhood.
And one of the difficulties about the plot aspect is I want to be careful not to give any aspect of the plot away in that respect. But I guess I can ask with relative safety, I think, about the Dutch house. Was there a Dutch house? This house is in Philadelphia. I don't think you ever lived in Philadelphia, did you?
No, I never lived in Philadelphia, but I had a very close friend from college. I went to college in New York, and I used to go home to her family's house on the weekends and for holidays. And she lived in Elkins Park. So it was someplace that I was familiar with.
So, and was there a very specific house that even as a college student, when you were going there, was there even a side of you saying, wow, yeah, this is a setting for a novel. I can already feel a story bubbling up.
No, not exactly. But, throughout my life, there have been houses, and I think everyone's had this experience where you're just driving along and you think, well, now that is a house. That is a house and a half. And I've been in some beautiful houses, and I think that I've just taken little pieces of them over time. If it's a carved panel, if it's a tiled fireplace, if it's an awful dining room ceiling, and I've just squirreled them away and then reassembled them into one house.
And was there ever a portrait? Because, again, we don't have to go into the specifics of it, but the portrait plays an important role or an important plot aspect of the Dutch house as well.
Well, I am a big fan of family portraits, so I'd always admire them. And it really doesn't matter to me if the portrait is of someone who was in the family. And certainly it's safe to say that when the Conroy family buys the Dutch house, they buy the whole place. They buy all of the contents. So they get the family portraits of people who are not their family. They also get their dishes and their clothes and their sofas and everything. So the house is full of these very, very grand portraits that don't have anything to do with the Conroys. It's Cyril Conroy, the father. It's his wish that eventually he will have all of his family members painted and hung there instead of the people who lived there before, but he only gets the daughter's portrait painted.
Cyril makes his money effectively through property deals. How accidental a property dealer is he?
Well, he starts off with a tip that he gets during the Second World War when he is off fighting in a hospital. He's not fighting in the hospital, he is sick and in the hospital, and he gets a tip from the guy in the bed next to his about property that may be valuable. He comes home, he scrapes the pennies together, he buys a little bit of this very cheap property that later becomes very valuable, and then he begins to buy and sell the property. I was very interested in the idea of how do you make money when you don't have money. And also, at the time this happened, right after the Second World War in the States, there really was no middle class. People were either very poor or very rich. And so the Conroys go from being very poor to very rich.
What kind of expectations were on Anne Patchinger, kind of at the latter end, possibly, of the baby boomer generation? I presume there was no expectation, you must become a writer, Anne.
What's the cutoff? I was born in 1963.
I think 64 is the cutoff.
Good. I was born in December of 63. I can discuss my role as a baby boomer. So as far as my saying that I wanted to be a writer, which I did when I was a little child, my mother thought that was a great idea, and my father thought that I should be a dental hygienist. My father used to tell me all the time that I wasn't going to be a writer, it wasn't going to work out, I had to be more practical, I had to have something to fall back on. And it didn't bother me. I mean, I really realized he was saying it out of love, but I didn't listen to him either. It's one of the wonderful things about having grown up in that time as a girl, which is, I just don't think that people had a lot of professional expectations for their daughters. They just kind of thought, you're going to marry somebody and everything will be fine. So the fact that I really, really wanted to be a writer was very close to saying, I really don't want to have any job at all and I just want to marry somebody who'll take care of me.
And at what point, I presume it was Anne Patchett herself who put the pressure on to become the bookseller?
Yes. Well, that happened. It's almost 8 years ago that we opened the shop in Nashville, Tennessee, Parnassus Books, my business partner and I. And I never thought that this is what I was going to do with my life. But the bookshop in our city closed, both of them closed, and there needed to be one, and it wasn't getting done. And I met this woman who wanted to open a bookshop, so we decided to partner and go into business together. And I had no idea. My whole life, I just wanted to be an artist. I had no idea how much I enjoyed business or that I would be really good at it. And that, I think, goes into Danny wanting to go into the real estate business, because I do have the sense of business as being really fun now.
I also saw online there was an interview, or it was a talk you had given. I can't remember where specifically the talk was, but you were speaking about how being a bookseller actually taught you not to say, oh, I don't read that type of book, because as a bookseller you had to kind of get to know all types of books in order to sell them to all types of readers. What was the biggest surprise in terms of a genre or a type of book that, you know, 15 years ago, let's say, you would have said, nah, I'm not going to even look at that. But now you would say, oh yeah, I'd read that.
How much time do you have? I read everything. I read indiscriminately. And it used to be that I just read Henry James over and over again. I read E.M. Forrester. I read Dickens. I read Austen. I read maybe a half a dozen contemporary novels a year. And now I only read books that haven't been published. And it's quite exciting to see how books really, it's almost like reading the newspaper that's so full of the present day. But I never would have read dystopian fiction. The idea of dystopian fiction really repulsed me. And now I read it all the time, and it's so informative. I didn't read children's books. I didn't read middle school books. I didn't read young adult books. Probably now half of everything I read is nonfiction, which I love. I didn't read nonfiction before. So I'm a much broader and more well-rounded reader than I used to be.
And finally then, I wonder if Ann Patchett, writer, can ever listen to Ann Patchett, bookseller, when Ann Patchett, bookseller, says, do you know what would really sell is a book about XYZ ABC? Does Ann Patchett, writer, have to say, Ann Patchett, bookseller, get back into the shop where you belong. I'm busy writing at the moment.
You know, it's funny. It has had an impact on me. And I'll tell you what people I talk to who come into the store want. They want a very smart, well-written book that doesn't ground them into the dirt at the end. They want a book that lifts them just a bit. They want a book that's a little bit funny and yet is still very smart. And I have been impacted by that. The strange thing is, I think all of my books are hysterically funny, and people are always telling me how sad they are. So I don't know what to make of that.
Well, they can read The Dutch House and find out for themselves whether it's hysterically funny or terribly sad, or somewhere in between, perhaps. Ann Patchett speaking to us about her latest novel, The Dutch House, which is published by Bloomsbury.